Welcome back to the Mochas Podcast. I know in the introduction to season two, I promised that I'll be bringing people to the show for interviews and basically just hearing other people's opinions. And today I'm proud to have the first interview in season two with none other than Moses Machipisa. His bio and achievements, trust me, they are longer than the longest African name you know. But to give a brief about my guest today, he is an educator by training and he has spearheaded quite a lot of youth initiatives, particularly in Zimbabwe, in civic leadership, development, and volunteering. He has achieved quite a lot in this space, including leading one of the largest volunteer movements in Zimbabwe under the hashtag This Is My Home campaign, spanning from March 2018 up to December 2019. The campaign was instrumental in both the cholera outbreak that affected a lot of high-density suburbs in Zimbabwe, and also with Cyclone Idai, which displaced quite a lot of people in the eastern parts of Zimbabwe and Mozambique. Apart from all of that, and perhaps the main reason why I've invited him to have a chat with me today, Moses is very passionate about Ubuntu leadership, and he really believes in the power of young people in transforming Africa. He is currently an ambassador for the Ubuntu United Nations. Thank you so much for making the time for this interview today, and I'm really excited and glad to have you here, Mr. Moses.
Thank you so much, Truman. It's an honor to be here on the Mo podcast, and I'm looking forward to sharing some thoughts on the subject of Ubuntu.
Thank you so much. For the listeners, from the title, I'm sure you've already gotten an idea of what exactly we are going to be talking about today, Ubuntu. And I'm just going to jump straight into the question. I think my first question to you would be, what exactly is Ubuntu and what is the concept around it?
So Ubuntu is a philosophy, or it's an idea, just if I can simplify it. It's a way of looking at the world. So since time immemorial, different thinkers from different parts of the world have reflected on a question, right? Who am I? What does it mean to exist? So those existential questions have tried to, you know, in their attempt to be answered, the philosophers tried to devise different views depending on where they came from. For example, the Western thought is, I think, therefore I am. And if you look at the Western approach, it's where it's very individualistic in terms of the background of their philosophy. But when we look at Ubuntu, it's an African idea which has become a gift to the world, which posits that you are a person because of others. Right? So Ubuntu says, I am because you are. What essentially the idea is, you are becoming a human, right? So you become a human through relationship, you become a human through interaction. And this, if you look at even the science, everything that we have learned for us to, you know, to talk, to walk, it's been by observation, right? So we become human because of interaction. And this is the idea of Ubuntu, that the collective or the whole of the community is more important than the individuals that make it. So the interplay and the interdependence within the relationship are the most important and the central part of being a human being, right? So we are becoming human is what Ubuntu says.
That's actually very, very true. I think I'll tackle one of the last statements you said, that community is more important than an individual. And I think for today, of course, you're going to be talking about Ubuntu in leadership. But the main reason why I actually thought to have this topic is exactly because of that Ubuntu has somewhat been divorced from our leadership in that we are now becoming more of individualistic. A lot of people are selfish. They are not putting the community first and all of that. So in your own words, what do you think has led to that erosion? Or more specifically, why is Ubuntu not at the heart of leadership in Africa as it once was?
So I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the change in culture. And there's been a lot of things that have brought a change in terms of culture, some positive, some negative. So one of the negative aspects which brought a lot of change in our culture was colonialism, as well as its legacy. Then also the other thing that has led to change in terms of the culture has been because of globalization, right? As we are integrating with different cultures, as what happens naturally, you tend to lose some of the aspects of your own culture. And as you can see, most of the technologies that we use, they have been inspired mostly from Western thought and Western ideals. And also, if you look at our education and schooling system, there's not been an emphasis on this value of Ubuntu. In fact, I could say that our education systems have promoted a lot of individualistic thinking rather than, you know, working together as what is dictated by the ideal of Ubuntu, where we work together and the community is of paramount importance. So those are some of the things. So if I can put it in a nutshell, I would say culture, the change, the legacy of colonialism. I would also then say, the institution of education hasn't been doing a great job. And also, if you look at the technology and this generation, which we are using, technologies, and also changing in terms of our culture, because culture is an aspect, is dynamic, you see. So it's not static, but how it changes sometimes is for the better, but also sometimes it doesn't change for it. It changes in a negative sense. So those three things essentially have been the ones that have caused, sort of moving away, especially from at a basic level. But if you look at higher up in terms of leadership, I think the construct of leadership is something that we have also lost in terms of what does it mean to be a leader? What are the roles of a leader from an Ubuntu perspective? Also, those have been lost mainly because of the three points that I raised.
The point on culture and how dynamic it is a very strong point. I think I've talked to quite a number of people who have argued actually that, globalization has actually brought more positives than none. But I think we'll get into that in my second question from this. But I think for now, I just want you to kind of express your point more on what exactly does it mean when we say Ubuntu leadership? Because you said now we are kind of divorced from that idea of Ubuntu leadership and some aspects of it in our leadership institutions, and we've kind of forgotten about that. So can you explain a bit more about that?
So Ubuntu leadership, it is at the heart of Ubuntu leadership is the idea of the purpose of leadership is to serve, right? So I think servant leadership is something which is at the center if we look at Ubuntu. But as we said, when you look at the concept of Ubuntu, there's an interplay between the self and the others, right? So leadership is not something that is external, but also under Ubuntu leadership is something about the self. And we're looking at, your self concept, right? As a self, what guides that, right? What are your values? So what is your vision, towards serving others? So that is at the center. Then when you are looking at, issues around like self-confidence, how do you portray yourself as a leader to those that you are leading to inspire them towards a certain direction and vision? Then you are also looking at other components. How do you relate to others? The aspect of empathy, the aspect of service. So the interplay between the self and the other is at the heart of Ubuntu leadership, where you look at and you focus on understanding yourself and relating that to the other. And where leadership is a function of serving others, not for self-aggrandizement or for, fulfilling personal selfish ambition. But leadership should be viewed from the lens of you are leading towards the betterment and the improvement of a community, right? So leadership is, from an Ubuntu perspective, leadership is practical, it's pragmatic. It does not end in, lofty statements, but the measure of leadership is actually what improvement has happened in the lives of those that you are leading? What, how have you served? So it's an action, right? Which is contrary to what we see in our leadership discourse, which is more about, you know, speeches and making promises. But when it comes to deliver on the ground, you don't see that that much. So leadership from an Ubuntu perspective, as I said, focuses on the interplay of the self as well as the other, but with an eye of service, right? Servant leadership is a very, very critical component. And with tangible, you know, change and transformation in the lives of those that are being led. So it's something which, if I could put it that way, it's a pragmatic sort of leadership where the leader leads with the people, right? Not divorced away and just giving instructions on the direction, but also to be actively and intimately involved in the process, right? Because we say Ubuntu is about connection, right? So empathy, being there is also something which is integral to Ubuntu leadership.
Those are actually very good points that you bring in. And funny enough, next question I was going to ask you, if you think it's a concept that needs to be integrated in leadership. But from all these points that you're raising, it seems Ubuntu is all about, it's all about the positivity in leadership, being the servant to your people and also being practical. And you correctly put it out that nowadays leadership is more about making speeches, more about the image, but not more about the practical aspect of it, what improvements are being done to the society, to the community, and all of that. Since it is that important that we have that Ubuntu in our leadership, that we have, or we actually prioritize Ubuntu leadership, how can we incorporate it, especially with the young leaders? Because it's one of the things that I really believe in, that if we focus on the grassroots level and teaching people about these kinds of concepts in our culture that are seemingly being eroded, we can actually have a high class of leaders who are there and who prioritize Ubuntu leadership. How exactly can we incorporate it, especially with the young leaders? And also, how can we foster and facilitate the teaching of that kind of leadership from the grassroots?
You see, that's a very, very good question that you asked, Truman. So the transformation that we need to see, especially in the leadership discourse, as you have said, because as a continent, we're affected by a lot of challenges. For example, corruption being one of them. And if you look at it at the core, it's a crisis of values, right? Where there's no Ubuntu. But what happens with the values? You see, leadership is usually a reflection of the people, right? And this statement is debatable, but if you reflect on it, it carries some truth, right? That your leaders reflect you as a society. So if you look at Ubuntu and how we can move forward, the idea is Ubuntu has to be socialized, right? From a young age. Because sometimes if you, the concepts for them to work, it has to be the majority, right? Understanding what Ubuntu is and how it is integral for leadership and how it is integral to transform people's lives. So the institutions of socialization, for example, the school, play a very, very important and pivotal role in terms of developing a people with a different mindset on how they think society should function and how they relate to leaders. Right? So these ideas should be organic. They should come from the grassroots. And what is learned in class through what we call both the hidden and the open curriculum, like the subjects that you do, right? There has to be part of those subjects a focus on how can we take together concepts of Ubuntu to be part of the curriculum, right? So you can do this through, for example, if it's the activities, right, integrating Ubuntu. Because like now, if you look at our education system, it's highly individualistic, right? You look, there's an obsession with grades and personal performance. But what we know is that in the workplace, for example, where we are saying education is preparing youngsters for the education, for the workplace, you cannot win it alone, right? So in how activities are done within the school, they should be focused on collaboration. So that's one aspect, right? But also even in the what we call the hidden curriculum, like how we, the values that we push through our education system, it has to be made clear that Ubuntu has to be a core focus and core values of the schools that we that we have on the continent. The other thing which is important is Ubuntu is community focused, right? And there are other institutions which are very, very important, which cannot be divorced from the conversation. For example, other socializing institutions, for example, the church. Then also, if you look at in public service, right, there has to be a deliberate effort to conscientize even our public leader on what Ubuntu is. But the best approach from, in my own opinion, is to go at the grassroots. It has to start even at kindergarten, ECD level. Then we bring it up that we should have, if it's a module on Ubuntu in our schools, in our universities, in our colleges, which is something that people have to understand and to say this is our value, because this is also what ties to our identity as being African, right? So it's also an issue of identity. It's also an issue of dealing with contemporary challenges, for example, corruption, as I've spoken before, but also building social cohesion. Because if you look at ourselves in our different countries, we have a lot of challenges that have divided us because we don't have a central value which brings us together. And Ubuntu is one of those critical values that we need to look at as taking it to the, you know, to from the different socializing institutions, so that at the end of the day, we have a people and the leadership that are conscious of what Ubuntu is and it's relevant in terms of transformation. And the beauty of it, if I can add, Truman, is that, you know, you can marry Ubuntu to almost any field, right? Because it also borders on issues which are ethical, right? For example, there's an Ubuntu perspective to governance, right? There can be an Ubuntu perspective to education, an Ubuntu perspective to political science, an Ubuntu perspective to healthcare, because it is an idea which you can integrate with other field bodies of knowledge. So I think the socializing is one of the most important things that we need to take, but starting right from the grassroots and right from the youngest age up to the highest qualifications of education.
Those are some great points that you raised, Mr. Machipisa. Just to give a summary, you said that corruption is in a way a crisis of identity. And you also said something so powerful. You said leadership is a reflection of the people. And I remember in my season one of this podcast, I had a rather controversial episode where I was essentially saying leadership is not Africa's biggest problem, because essentially if we remove the people in leadership and we put anyone, we're going to have the same situation. It was all based on assumptions, really. But that was the main underlying point, to say that the values within the community and the society have also been fractured, and it's really important that we actually act to correct that. I'm assuming that you're kind of like in that space, but who exactly is supposed to be pushing for this? I know you mentioned socialization through the school route. Who is supposed to be pushing the ministry or the government to include some of these aspects in the curriculum? Or is it something that's already there but not being practiced?
So I might not, generalize and say in all curriculums on the continent, you don't have aspects of Ubuntu, right, within the local context. What I know, like, for example, in countries like Kenya, they emphasize it, and it is tied to concepts of, you know, patriotism, Harambe, all these concepts. But what is important is, I think there's a role, Truman, that has not been filled, right? Because your question is, who is responsible? So in the, what I call, if I could say, public intellectuals, who are missing in the discourse, right? Where are our thinkers? Where are our writers as Africans who write on Ubuntu, who write on its necessity, who write on how it can be integrated in the different bodies to give an African perspective, right? So I think primarily we don't have a lot of people who are doing, you know, such type of work in terms of coming, bringing to the fore through academia, right? First, through think tanks and other areas which are academia related. So that's the first place where I would say we need people, individuals, our own intellectuals, writing about Ubuntu and its necessity. Because if you look at, this is, you know, known world over, that transformation, societal transformation, is driven by the conversation that are, you know, that are had and spearheaded by intellectuals in a different, you know, a different society. For example, right now the world is talking about, maybe if you look at what the conversations are, not philosophical, but just as an example, if you look at cryptocurrencies, if you look at, for example, even with the pandemic, if you look around issues of artificial intelligence, right, there is a group of professionals or a group of thinkers in those fields that drive the conversation. So for me, where I have a challenge is on Ubuntu, I haven't sort of seen a lot of people driving the conversation on its relevance in our time. That is the first. Then the second body of people are the leaders themselves, right? Because if you look at the continent and the space where it is in, where we have got a young population and which has grown up in this context of twisted values, if I can put it that way, with expectations, right, rightfully so, but which are not being met, there's need for leaders to really direct efforts to build a value-driven cohort of young leaders, as well as a conscious youth, right? Because it also takes political will to develop young, to develop the right frameworks and to shape society in a way that is beneficial, especially looking at the future, right? Given that we've got a lot of young people. So the leaders also play a role. And by leaders, I mean not only the political leaders, but the influencers in our society. There has to be a conversation on Ubuntu and also why it is relevant for our times and how it can be integrated in the different aspects towards, you know, the renaissance, if I can put it, of the African continent.
That's actually very true. We need people to drive the conversation, because I've realized that it's actually lacking. When you try to research about Ubuntu, there are very few publications that you see. Some of them are just university journals that you see about Ubuntu. So there isn't that commonality in respect to Ubuntu. If someone wants to learn about Ubuntu today, they have to go through so much trouble to just figure out where to get the resources and the like. But I think someone who might be listening to this might actually be asking, is this actually practical? I think going back, you said that there's the whole issue of globalization going on. And some people, there are substantial arguments that globalization is a very good thing. But in respect to Ubuntu, it has led to its erosion. But to someone who is out there, who's doubting and who's not exactly being optimistic about all of this, I think I'll just ask you this bluntly. Is it at all possible to regain those aspects of our culture, or this is just us partaking in what I would say wishful thinking? So to you, do you think it's something that's really practical? It's something that we can actually do and regain and counter those effects of globalization?
So what, that's a very, very pertinent question. And a short answer is yes, it's possible. So you see, what is happening is, when you look at Ubuntu, right, as a concept and as a philosophy, right, or if you look at it, Ubuntu in action or Ubuntu in practice, it's not, yes, someone might have the opinion that, yes, it could be wishful thinking, right? Developing a community, not necessarily sharing, because this is not like communism, right? But it's a recognition of the needs of the community and how the individual fits into that matrix, right? So what I'm saying is, if you look at Ubuntu, it's not something that we have to deliberate on its necessity, as you know, from a debating perspective. But the fact is, if we don't go back to this value, where are we heading to? Because the trajectory that we have had, right, currently has been built or has been modified by the existing values of today, right? I'll give, for example, the rationale of corruption. So I'll give it as a twisted value of individualism, right? So for example, if you, in your own worldview, the most important actors are your own family, right? Because when we talk of Ubuntu, we say this, it focuses on the community. It focuses on the macro. But when we look at the current idea or the bedrock of our worldview today, it's on the individual, right? It focuses on the, for example, the nuclear family. If you look at corruption, the rationale is, right, your aspirations, your achievement should be for your family, right? My being myself, my wife, my son, and maybe a few other individuals around me, that constitutes my, you know, my immediate sort of extended family, right? From that worldview, it is somehow justified for someone to take money at the expense of the entire community to satisfy the narrow needs of someone, because that's the worldview that you have. If you look at, for example, a perspective, I'll just give a contemporary perspective on what has been happening with the pandemic, right? The individualism that we have seen, for example, in allocation of resources, be it finances or vaccines or whatever, right? For us, in our context, those things are not sustainable. So the idea of Ubuntu is to the continent, if I can put it, existential, because if we continue on this trajectory where we focus on our own individual ideas, right? Or when we focus on what Zimbabwe is doing, for example, I'll give it a development angle. If we don't have an Ubuntu approach to our development on the continent, which then focuses and says, we need to grow and to develop together as a continent, right? If one country develops, for example, if we have only Rwanda and a few other countries growing and developing, and the majority remain poor, right? You can't be rich and be surrounded by poverty and think that will not affect you, for example, right? So what I'm saying is Ubuntu is practical from both at a community perspective. Because you see what happens, if we look at the amenities that we have, I'll just give a Zimbabwean context, right? If someone sees a building, for example, or it's a utility in the community that is state-owned, right? And with our current mindset, someone will say, there's a woman, right? It belongs to some abstraction called government from our individualistic perspective. And that thing is subject to abuse. For example, no one takes real care of, you know, maybe if it's just simply the gullies that we have or infrastructure. And because we don't have that Ubuntu understanding to say, no, this is something which is to the communal benefit and it has to be protected. And if we don't have that as a mindset first, we are going nowhere. Because we have to understand that the decisions that we make, right? I always, you know, in a community which I belong to, I always laugh about something which speaks to the mindset that we have. Right. So in different communities, even here in Zimbabwe and elsewhere, or in the affluent suburbs in different African countries, because there is no water, right? Water is scarce, or the services are quite poor. You'll find out in every household, there's the bore, right? And in cases where there's intermittent electricity supply, people will have their own solar systems, right? So every place, bore, solar panel, from place to place. But if you look at the value now of all those investments, and you look at what would it take just to invest in repairing or to make the system function, you would be shocked. But because we've adopted this, as long as I'm okay, it doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, if you look at strategically, everyone will be affected. And I think recently, just to cut this short, recently, if you were following the development in South Africa, this idea of individualism, what it has done, where the elites, if I can put it, and the middle class, do not turn an eye on the poor, for example, because they are okay, right? And they don't look at the enablers of opportunity, for example, if the healthcare system, if the education system are working. What do we have? If when people loot the malls, are they not the elites that are now losing, right? When there's unrest and all those things. So the idea of Ubuntu being practical or not, yes, it is something that we can debate on. But what I can say with confidence is if we do not transform our mindset as Africans towards this idea of Ubuntu, to where we do serious reflection and to say we need to change, we need to focus on how to build strong nations everywhere, right? On how to build the ideal societies that we want our children to inherit. Then if we don't have that mindset and continue being fixated that as long as I have, my children are going to school, I'm driving a good car, I'm well educated, and as long my own needs are met, then damn the next person. That mindset is going to destroy us. And we can see it, especially when we have this youth bulge of young, disenfranchised, but disillusioned young people who also want, a better life for themselves.
You've done quite a great job in just scaling it down and showing, even to an extent where we can relate to an individual level, how in our different societies we have kind of adopted that individualistic approach where we're saying if I'm okay, then that's fine. I don't need anything else. And just to quote one of the statements you said that if you're rich and the communities around you are poor and you think that's not going to affect you, then you really have a problem. In part of the conclusion, Mr. Moses, I would say someone wants to learn about Ubuntu, and after listening to this, they feel like, okay, it's a concept that I really want to delve into and really understand. Are there any resources that you can recommend that they, find to read, or maybe organizations that deal with this kind of thing whereby they can get more knowledge around this topic?
Okay, thank you so much, Truman. So there are a lot of organizations that are coming up, thankfully, on Ubuntu. I'll speak to one of them called the Ubuntu Leaders Academy, which trains young people on the five pillars of Ubuntu: self-knowledge, self-confidence, empathy, resilience, and service. So I'm also part of the Ubuntu Global Network, which is a continental movement, if I can put it, of young leaders with this idea of Ubuntu. So there are a lot of, as you said, in the tech age where we actually have a lot of access to resources, I think it also takes a person being deliberate and also wanting to learn about Ubuntu and why it is important and relevant. And I have to applaud you, Truman, for example, a show like this one, where you are also then building the consciousness of what Ubuntu is and why it is important, especially in our context, whether here in Zimbabwe or in Africa, and as well as globally. So I think the onus is on, seeking and getting the information, but also connecting like-minded young leaders, right? So it's, as I said, Ubuntu is about an issue to do with also identity when you look at us as Africans. But as I also said, it's a gift to the world, right? It's a gift from the continent, but also to the world. So if you want to learn, right, find and follow, for example, people who write and will speak about Ubuntu. But also, I believe in co-creating of knowledge, right? Because as I said, Ubuntu can be married to different ideas and different bodies of knowledge, for example, and studies, right? So it's important that we also have researchers coming up, people who also want to write, not only to learn, but also to create content on Ubuntu. And that would also, that's where I was also alluding to the role of the public intellectuals to say, where are our public intellectuals? Because it's one thing to learn, but it's also another to learn in your own unique context, right? For example, if someone says Ubuntu in art, I can speak authoritatively to Ubuntu in education because I have an education background, right? I understand the education field. but I cannot speak as authoritatively on how Ubuntu marries with art, right? So we need also people who write about those things and who also come with, for example, if it's Ubuntu in economics, what do we mean when we integrate and marry Ubuntu in economics? What are we really trying to say? What are the ideals, right? So all those things require not only people to seek out knowledge, but also to take a deliberate approach to say, how do I add my voice also into the conversation? Because I believe the digital space has given us a platform, right, to speak to a lot of issues and to be part of a lot of conversations on Ubuntu.
Thank you so much. I think my greatest takeaway from this, which is something that really struck me, is I was always thinking about Ubuntu in the terms of education, but you raised quite powerful points in regards to Ubuntu being in every facet of our lives, be it in arts, in music, in leadership, in politics, in economics, in business, in everywhere, really. And I think those are really some strong points. And I think throughout this episode, you have been sharing a lot of insightful nuggets, and I really hope that the listeners who will be listening to this really get to learn a thing or two and really revive that feeling of saying, okay, I really want to learn about this Ubuntu. Towards the end, we talked about ways in which someone can learn more about Ubuntu. So thank you so much for really making the time and just having this chat with me and educating the people out there about Ubuntu.
Thank you so much, Truman. It's an honor and it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for this show. And I'm really excited for what you have started. And also, hopefully, a lot of young people, because what we are having is conversations that matter. And I hope even in future episodes that, a lot of young people are going to benefit from getting the different nuggets on the different topics that you have. So well done and congratulations.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. To the listeners, if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe, like, and share. And of course, share your feedback as to whether you like the episode or not. And if you learned something, please just make sure you share your feedback. Other than that, thank you so much for listening. Until next time, this is the Mojuice.